Good evening, good morning, whatever time it is, wherever you are. Welcome to House C Production Gospel Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Freddie Howard, the Sunday School teacher for today from Antioch Baptist Church here in Turtle Springs, Alabama, 45 Church Street, 364-751-251-564-2171. A church where everybody is somebody. And Christ is the head. Reverend Waylon Oliver is our pastor. Sister Joyce Oliver is our first lady. Our clerk is Miss Lisa Starwis, where we have Sunday school every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. We have worship service on the second, fourth, and fifth Sundays at 11 a.m. And just like many churches across this nation and around the world, we are being adjusting our services to battle the pandemic, coronavirus, and we are observing the laws of the land and how to conduct our services. And we thank you for joining us. The lesson for today will be Sunday, May the 24th, 2020. And the big subject is Do the Right Thing. The devotion reading is Psalms 72, 1 through 7. Our background scripture is Jeremiah, the 22nd chapter. Our printed text is also Jeremiah, the 22nd chapter, verses 1 through 10. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy that gives us the chance to get things right with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let us begin with our home daily Bible reading. We will begin with Monday's reading, which will come from Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter, verses 17 through 22. Justice for aliens, orphans, and widows. Justice for alien, orphans, and widows. All right, Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter, verses 17 through 22. Let us begin. Thou shalt not pervert the justice due the sojourner, nor the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a slave in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee from there. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. Verse 19. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in the field, and has forgotten a sheaf of in the field, thou shalt not go again and fetch it. It shall be for the sojourner, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord God say, bless thee in all the work of thine hand. That the Lord may bless thee in all the works of thy hand. Verses 20, when thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the bough again. It shall be for the sojourner, for the fatherless, and for the widow. Verse 21, when thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the sojourner, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And finally, verse 22, and thou shalt remember that thou wast a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore I command thee to do these things. And what that means is that when you harvest your fields and what you have God has allowed you labor to receive. And when you harvest for yourself, leave something for the stranger and the aliens and the other people in the nation and the world, that they may have food or substance to eat or whatever. And in this country here, we call it illegal immigrants. And that is people that are not citizens of this country. So God telling him too. When they harvest us, things for themselves, which God has blessed them to harvest, leave something for the illegal immigrants, aliens in your midst, because you were also in Africa, a slave in Africa, and the Lord God redeems thee from there. Therefore, I command thee to do these things. Okay, let's go to God Requires Godly Rule by Kings. Deuteronomy 17:18 through the 20th verse. Deuteronomy 17:18 through the 21st. Let us turn. Deuteronomy 17:18 through the 20th verse. God Requires Godly Rule by Kings. All right, let us begin. Verse number 18, and here we go. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne in his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and the Levites. And it shall be with him and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. I lost my place. Okay, that was 18:19. Oh, and it shall be with him that he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. Verse number 20, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, that he turn not aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Okay. Now what that is saying, God requires godly rule by king. Whoever the ruler is over a nation or over a people, God requires them to be just and right and upright and should have the rules of doing right and fair and just. You don't do evil as a ruler of over people. As a king, or as a president, or as a governor. In other words, you are to do what is right. God requires you. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before thee, the priests and the Levites. Obedience and justice. All right. Kings, you are required to do what is right. Who may enter God's holy presence? Psalms 15. Let us turn. Psalm 15. Who may enter God's holy presence? Okay. The man who abideth with God. Okay. A song of David. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in the holy hills? He that walketh upright and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a report against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honoreth them who fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own heart and changes not, he that purifieth not out his money to interest and not taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. These are the people, are the individuals who will be in the presence of God. Oh, the man who abideth with God, walk in God's presence, be of Christ-like, They're telling you to do what is right. And you got righteousness all about you. You do what is right. You treat people right. You don't be backbiting. You don't be backstabbing folks. You treat people right. All right. And doing that, you will abide in the presence of God. All right. Let's look at God's justice for the unjust king. God has a way of dealing with the unjust king. Jeremiah, the 22nd chapter, verses 11 through 19. Jeremiah, the 22nd chapter, verses 11 through 19. Let us turn. Jeremiah, the 22nd chapter, verses 11 through 19. Let us begin. Verse 11. Measures concerning Jehoshaphat, Shalom. Okay. Verse 11. For thus said the Lord, touching Shalom, the son of Josiah, king of Judea, who resigned instead of Josiah, his father, who went forth out of this place, he shall not return there, say there anymore. But he shall die in the place where they had led him captured, and shall see this land no more. Measured concerning Jehoiakim. All right. Verse number 13. Woe unto him who buildeth his house by unrighteousness, and his character by wrong, who uses his neighbor's service without wages, and giveth him not for his work, who saith, I shall build myself a wide house and large chambers, and cut it out windows, and it panels with cedar, and paint it with vermilion. Verse 15, shalt thou reign because thou dost thyself in cedar? Did thy father eat and drink and do justice and righteousness, and then it was well with him? He judges the cause of the poor and needy, then it will be well with him. Was not this to know me, saith the Lord? Verse 17, but thine eyes and thine heart are not but for thy uncovetousness, and for shedding innocent blood, and for oppression, and for violence to do it. Verse 18, therefore thus said the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judea, they shall not lament for him, saying, ah, my brother, ah, sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, our Lord, on his glory. Verse number 19, he shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. Oh, man. It is not good to do evil in the sight of God as a king. Do justice for the unjust king. God do not want you to be a ruler over people and do them wrong. That is a lesson for governors, presidents, mayors. If you're ahead of anything and over God's people, he wants you to do right. Because if you do wrong, God is going to judge you for doing the wrong to his people. What a lesson. What a lesson. Okay? The next one is Jeremiah, the 22nd chapter, verses 20 through 23. And that is, the city suffers for its disobedience. The city suffers for its disobedience. Jeremiah 22, verses 20 through 23. Jeremiah 22, verses 20 to 23. Message concerning Jehoiakim, Cana Jehoiakim. Go up to Lebanon and cry, and lift up thy voice in Bashan, and cry out from the gates, for all thy lovers are destroyed. Verse 21, I spoke unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou saidest, I would not hear. Thou had been thy manner from thy youth, and thou objectest not my voice. Listen to this. Verse number 22. The wind shall eat up all thy shepherds, and thy lovers shall go into captivity. Surely thou shalt thou be ashamed and confounded by all the wickedness. O inhabitants of Lebanon, who makest thy nest in the cedar, how gracious shalt thou be when pangs come upon thee, the pain as of a woman in travail. Oh man, this city suffers for disobedience. Whenever a king or leader is in charge and is over God's people and they are evil and do wrong, everything in the city in which he governs, everything suffers when that is taking place. Everything and everybody suffers. Okay, let's go to Jeremiah 22nd chapter, verses 24 through 30. And it says, injustice ends the line of David. Injustice ends the line of David. This is Jeremiah 22nd chapter, verses 24 through 30. And it reads, as I live, said the Lord, thou Tanith, the son of Joachim, king of Judah, wear the signet upon my right hand, yet shall I pluck thee from thee. And I will give thee into the hands of those who seek thy life, and into the hand of those whose face thou fearest, even into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hands of the Chaldeans. All right. Verse number 26. And I will cast thee out, and thy mothers who bore thee into another country where ye were not born, and there shall ye die. 27. But to the hand, to the land to which thou desirest to return, there shall they not return. Verse 28. Is this corner a despised broken idol? Is he a vessel in which is no pleasure? Why are they cast out? He and his seed are cast out into a land which they know not. Verse number 29. O earth, 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 hear the words of the Lord. And finally, verse 30. Thus said the Lord, write this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. Oh, what a testimony, what a word in regards to injustice in the land of David. That means David sat upon the throne over God's people, and then there became kings that were unjust and did things wrong, and God said this, injustice ends the line of David. Oh, God is punishing the people, the kings and rulers over his people. He is punishing them for doing wrong. All right. We hope you understand thoroughly what this is saying. As a king or leader over Jesus, God's people, over God's people, and this applies to us today. It still applies to us today. As a ruler over God's people, do right, okay? Do the right thing. All right, let us begin our Sunday school lesson for Sunday, May the 24th. All right, why this lesson matters. Society often ignores and even condones the oppression of the vulnerable. Will righteousness be rewarded? Will righteousness be rewarded? And will evil face retribution? Though the prophet Jeremiah, through the prophet Jeremiah, God exhorts the people either to repent of injustice and deliver those who are oppressed are to face destruction. God wants you to do people right. Don't step down and do harm to the fatherless, the motherless, the child. Do not do that. Take care and do what is right. Do the right thing. The lesson in focus. Our pastor, Reverend R.T. Williams, often reminds us that we can obey our way to blessing. We can obey our way to blessings. He says that we may not have memorized a plateau of scripture, but we can, should obey what we know. The relationship between obedience, doing the right thing, and blessing goes back to Adam and Eve. We know how Adam and Eve failed. Okay? They were deceived by Satan, the deceiver, the liar. That is still true today. Do not be deceived by what is taking place in this country and around you. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ. Their failure to do the right thing cost them paradise and ushered sin and death into the world. As the new generation of Israel camped in the plains of Moab, poised for the invasion and possession of promised land, Moses warned them against disobeying God and encouraged them to follow the path of truth. Oh Lord, listen. Moses set before them the choices of life and prosperity and death and the curse. See Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 to 20. Choosing the way of life requires consistent obedience, that is, doing the right thing. Throughout his relationship with them up to the final siege of Jerusalem by the Babylonians, God maintained this requirement for receiving and enjoying blessing. Among his final warning to Judah and her leaders was the command to do the right thing in order to be spared from total destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. God warns you. God told them what to do. God clearly told them before the coming of destruction from Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian, the Chaldeans. In Jeremiah 21, King Zedekiah sent two of his officials to Jeremiah with the request that he go to God on behalf of Judah. The request was made during the Babylonians' final siege of Jerusalem. Zedekiah hoped that God would miraculously intervene and defeat the Babylonians as he had done the Assyrians during the reign of King Hezekiah. See 2 Kings 19, 35 and 36. Though Jeremiah's response to the king learned that God refused to defend Jerusalem and was going to fight against it through his invading instruments of punishment, the Babylonian, Nebuchadnezzar, the Chaldean. See, the 21st chapter, verses 4 and 5. Jeremiah is sequentially sent to the king, his officials, and those in the palace precinct with a final opportunity to mitigate God's wrath against them and preserve David's royal house. This is in chapter 22. Oh, here's an open inquiry for you. How is God's commitment to his covenant with David shown in verses 1 through 4? Very clear what he's going to be saying in verses 1 through 4. Jeremiah 22, verses 1 through 5 when we begin the lesson. Pay close attention. What were some visible ways for Judah rulers to do justice and righteousness? That'll be brought out in verse 3. Please pay close attention. Verse number 3. Why is it imperative that God's people live godly lives in the world? Oh, it is so important that we live godly lives. That's in order to have your life and to be safe and to do what is right. God requires you to do justice. Why is lost mankind to be mourned more so than the saints who dies for the Lord? A profound question, but a good question to ask us. Why we mourn more for those that are lost and we mourn for those that are saved, because those that are saved in the presence of God, but those that are lost will spend eternity with Satan in hell. The way's insight. The way to the heart of God is through obedience. Insight. Insight, listeners. The way to the heart of God is through obedience. More than any sacrificial service or extravagant worship spirit, God desires that his people obey him. See 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, verse 22. God requires you to obey him. He expects that we do the right thing in every aspect of our lives. Obedience to God does not separate the secular from the spiritual. Let us understand what that is saying. God does not separate the secular from the spiritual. In whatever way you are walking in your walk with Christ and in your life, whether it's spiritual or whether it's secular, those things that are not of Christ, when it says secular, you remember it said, run into Caesar the things that are Caesar and run into things that God, of God. He still requires you to do right. Do right. I don't care what your circumstance is or how difficult your situation is. Do what is right. Okay? Oh, man. His word requires obedience to secular authority. See Romans 13, verses 1 through 7, as well as spiritual leaders who have been given authority over his people. See Hebrews 13 and 17. Remember we said at the early beginning of this lesson about even during this pandemic situation and the situation at the end, the governing authorities have authorized certain things to how you should worship and what you should take place. Obey those rules instead and do what God say, what you do in your worship, how God, so God would bless you. Do what is right. Okay? All right? They're telling you not to meet a whole bunch of folks together. Don't do that. They're telling you how to distance yourself apart. Do that. Do what they're asking you to do. But you can still worship God and by being obedient, obey, okay? There are certain things that you know that you should not be doing in obeying authority that you know that is not, that it's not right. But there are certain things that you can do. You can do distance, social distance. You can not meet with a whole bunch of folks. Wear the mask like they're telling you to wear to protect yourself. Do what is right. Okay. Doing the right thing does not discriminate in our relationship with others either. Oh, did you hear that? It does not discriminate in our relationship with others. You still need to love and care and take care of people. All right. I had a message today from an old friend in regards to people that believe in abortion and do abortion and lumping up everybody in the Democratic Party as people that are aborters and different things like that. I do not believe in aborting a child. Some of you do not believe in aborting a child. But the thing about that is that you don't lump everybody in the same category. Do what is right. Treat people right. You still have to love them. Okay? It requires loving our enemies as well as family and friends and those in the community of faith. God says before Israel the choice of doing the right thing and experiencing life, of doing the wrong thing and choosing death to their detriment. They chose the path of consistent, deliberate disobedience and suffered loss as well as delay or promised blessing. Compassionately, God offered the opportunity to repent and do the right thing, even as they were about to taste destruction, death, and exile. What are his redeemed children required to do today? Do what is right. All that are under the sound of my voice, do what is right. Do what is right. What are his redeemed children required to do today? Do what is right. How focused are we on doing the right thing in our homes, communities, and local congregations? If our blessings inventory is slack, it may mean that we need to check our consistency in obeying God's standards and expectations. do the right thing. Please, brothers and sisters. Exploration. Contextually, this lesson calls God's people to do the right thing, specifically by promoting justice and righteousness. Broadly, this lesson can be used to focus our attention on the requirements of obedience to receive and enjoy the blessings of God, individually and collectively. Discusses an emphasis that Judah's predicament at this time was the result of years of blatant disobedience toward God and each other. They had forsaken their covenant with him and its requirement. We are challenging you all, as well as myself, Freddie, to identify how God's covenant with his people today, the new covenant, is being forsaken, especially in the area of doing justice and righteousness. As a class, as are you listening, as all of us, Christ-like people, specifically ways to be more consistently obedient in this area. All right, here we begin with the lesson for today, Jeremiah, the 22nd chapter, verses 1 through 5. Here we go. Thus said the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah and speak there this word, and say, verse 2, and say, hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, that sittest upon the throne of David, thou and thy servants and thy people that enter in by these gates. Verse 3, thus said the Lord, execute ye judgment and righteousness, and deliver the spoils out of the hands of the oppressors, and do no wrong, do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor the widow, neither shed innocent blood in this place. He is talking to his people, he is talking to his leaders. It is talking to us today, right today, May the 23rd. He is talking to us today, May the 24th. He is talking to us tomorrow, God willing, if you still be here. Do what is right. Do justice. Do not oppress and keep put down on the downtrodden and the fatherless and the weak and then the poor in your midst. Do what is right. For if you do these things, indeed, there shall enter into the gates of this house, sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and horses, he and his servants and his people. Oh, man. But if ye will not hear these words, I swear by myself, said the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. Do what is right. Do what is right, because God will punish you for that. But if thou do not obey these commands, declares the Lord, I swear by myself that this palace will become ruined. All right. One of the foundation principles of managing a classroom of students is to refuse to engage in misbehaving students in an argument. A specific technique for this is to identify the misbehavior and then firmly tell the student that you have a choice. Stop disbehaving or take the consequences. Your choice. You choose, students. By offering the decision to choose, the onus is now on the students and not the teacher. God's covenant relationship with Israel is similarly based on the principles you choose. He provided the standards, and it was left to them to choose to obey and be blessed or disobey and be cursed. While the Babylonians armed besieged Jerusalem, God gave the king, his, and officials, the people, the option to choose their way to ensure the continuance of David's dynasty, continued blessing and averting imminent disaster. Verses 1 and 2. Clearly understanding what God is telling them. The choice was to do what was just and right and deliver those who had been robbed by their oppressors. Verse number 3. Additionally, they were to immediately cease the mistreatment of strangers, orphans, and widows, and shedding of innocent blood. Stop it. Stop it now. If you are doing that to folks in your midst, that's in your charge, stop it now. If the choice was to obey this command, they would expect continued blessing. But disobedience would mean the royal palace would become your ruins. Oh, do you get what is taking place here? Daily, the choice is ours to obey or disobey God's command. The enemy besieges us with what is in the world. Oh, Lord have mercy. Just take a moment. Think about your situation. Personally, you. Think about it. Are you besieged with what is in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. 1 John 2:16. Is that you? If you are, stop it now. But genuine evidence of our knowing him is to obey his commands. See 1 John 2 and 3. God specifically calls Judah and her leaders to do the right thing in this lesson by practicing justice and righteousness. Under the new covenant, the call to implement these practices in the daily life of his people has not changed. It has not changed in this day of the Lord. May the 23rd, 24th. I keep saying that yesterday. That means you should have vividly in your mind what you did yesterday. Did you do right? And for today, are you doing right now? All right? God specifically calls Judah and her leaders to do the right thing and did less by practicing justice and righteousness under the new covenant. The call to implement these practices in daily lives of his people has not changed. He has set before us the same two options: do the right thing and be blessed, do the wrong thing and face divine judgment and a loss of blessing. You choose. You, the listener, choose. Freddie, you choose. All right? An adult question for you. God commands Jeremiah audience to do justice and righteousness. How can we engage in more doing things, talking about the need for social justice and equality in our local communities? You can do what is right in your local community right now. Right now. A question for young people that are listening. We can all identify oppression in our community. Brainstorm of different ideas to address the oppressed and bring them closer to deliverance. Okay. For example, in our community, we have the opportunity which God has blessed us, several of us in this community, to have a garden up here at the school. We allow people to have the produce from that garden. And if they don't have the money to give us some back, give it to them anyway. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. All right? Okay, bless somebody so God can bless you. Do the right thing. If you are in charge of something and you have the ability to bless somebody, suppose a child come through the lunch line and you the head cafeteria and you run the kitchen and they don't have the money to pay for their food. Somehow, some way, make sure they get food, okay? You make sure that student or that person get food, okay? Do the right thing. All right. Comments on here go with Jeremiah. This, the next outline, Jeremiah 22 verses 6 through 10. This is our last outline. Please pay attention. Here we go. Okay. Jeremiah 22nd chapter verses 6 through 10. Here we go. Verse number 6. For thus said the Lord unto the king's house of Judah, thou art Gilgad unto me, and the head of Lebanon. Yet surely I will make thee a wilderness and cities which are not inhabited. You know what it said about Gilgal, a region east of the Jordan in Palestine, also the name of several Israelites. Okay? Look at verse number 7. And I will prepare a destroyer against thee, and everyone with his weapons, they shall cut down thy choice cedar and cast them into the fire. Verse 8, and many nations shall pass by this city, and they shall say every man to his neighbor, wherefore had the Lord done thus unto this great city? Verse 9, then they shall answer, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord thy God, and worship other gods and serve them. What do you think people are saying about America today? What do you think people are saying about America today? And how we are behaving and how we are doing things in this country? Think about it. What are you saying about you? Suppose you had a beautiful home and everything good, your children, and then you start doing wrong and everything begin to go awry. It's a reason for it. God will punish evil. Do what is right. Do what is right. Then they shall answer, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God, and worship other gods and serve them. Verse number 10, weep ye not for the dead, neither bemoan him, but weep sore for him that goeth away, for he shall return no more, nor see his native country. Now you understand why God says, weep more so for those that are lost than for those that are saved. Okay? Do not weep for the dead king or mourn his loss. Rather, weep bitterly for him who is exiled, because he will never return nor see his native land again. Jeremiah references in verse 6, 9 is to the royal palace. The royal palace in Jerusalem was known as the Palace of the Forest of Lebanon, 1 Kings 7, 2 and 5, Isaiah 22 and 8, because it had been constructed with lumber made from the forests of Gilgal and Lebanon. Dyer, C.H., 1985, Jeremiah and Jeff Woodward and R.B. Zucks, Education, the Bible, Knowledge, Commentary, as exposition of the scriptures. All right. Wembley Victory Brooks, as magnificent as the palace was and the decrees of godly affirmity for it, however, because of the people's disobedience, it would be burned by the Babylonians. Say, for instance, let's take, for instance, my home or your home or some place where you live. Suppose you are doing what is wrong. This is a message for you, Freddie. This is a message for all of the listeners, especially my family and loved ones. Do what is right. If you're not doing what is right, stop it right now. The description of what would happen to the royal palace can be said to represent the complete destruction of Jerusalem as the fate of the people for their rebellion against God. God will punish you when you do evil. Do what is right. The devastation of the royal palace and the city of Jerusalem would be noticed by other nations. It would be noticed by other nations. Say, for instance, your neighbors in your community will witness your destruction if you continue to do evil. Do what is right. They were asked why God would allow this to happen. Ironically, they would know that it was because God's people failed to keep their covenant responsibilities and prostituted themselves with other gods. What does it mean by prostitute yourselves with other gods? You know what that means. In other words, you throw all away for to get rich or go steal a car or take something that doesn't belong to you, okay? The people have judged with the curse promised in Deuteronomy 27:15-26, for their disobedient skeptics and the unbelieving among humankind can observe God's people. For their disobedient skeptics and the unbelieving among humankind can and do observe God's people. The evil people around you watching you as well. Look at that. Let me read that again. For their disobedience, listen, skeptics and unbelieving among humankind do observe God's people. They're watching you. They're watching you see what you do. They have a surface of knowledge of what his people should be doing and are quick to point out their failures. Oh, you've heard the saying, what they be saying about, oh, I'm not going up there to that church, or, you know, this, that, or whatever. Oh, do what is right, because they are looking at you. Okay. His people should be doing and are quick to point out their failures. All right, the people that are around you. The challenge then is to choose and to intentionally do the right thing in every area of life and uphold justice and righteousness. The closing verse of today's lesson are a message to Shalom, a son of Josiah who succeeded him when he was killed by Pharaoh Nero II of Egypt. After 3 months, Shalom was disposed by Nero and taken as captive to Egypt, where he died, verses 11 through 12. Apparently, Judah was still mourning the death of his father, Josiah, verse 10. God's message to Judah was to cease weeping for the godly Josiah who died and did not have to witness the destruction of Jerusalem, but weep for the ones in exile instead. Why this prohibition? Perhaps the message was that Josiah had been spared the heartbreak of seeing his city destroyed and that her people either killed or enslaved. This exiled king would have had to experience the atrocities of war and the agony of never seeing his city again. Even in death, Josiah had experienced the blessing for doing the right thing. Do the right thing. It is the unsaved among humankind who are to be pitied and mourned if they remain unrepentant because of the fate that awaits them. Let me say that again, listeners, my family, to you, Freddie, to those that are listening, those that are in Christ, listen again to this. It is the unsaved among humankind who are to be pitied and mourned if they remain unrepentant because of the fate that awaits them. As we mourn because of the faith of the lost, we are also obligated to proclaim the gospel vocally, visibly, so that they have the opportunity to enjoy the blessings of being God's children. Oh, what specific evidence reveals that God's people have not forsaken their covenant responsibilities? When God continually to bless them in all situations, no matter what's going on, because they are keeping the faith, they're keeping their hands on the prize, they are doing what is right no matter what their situation is. God can still bless you during this pandemic. God can still bless you when you're sick and you're ill. Do what is right. Do not change. Keep the faith. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. We have all done wrong a time or two in our lives. How did God punish and chastise impact your life? You know that personally. I know that personally. Okay? In our nation, we have to deal with corrupt political leaders in high places. As believers, how can we ensure that justice leaders are put into office in the next election? By doing what is right and praying for what is right. Choose leaders that have shown in the past to be right and upjust. Do not choose leaders that show you that they are evil and will do anything. Do not put leaders like that in charge. Is there a message for you today in this country today on May the 24th, this day? Is there a message there for you? Yes, it is. It is clear to you and in your very eyes. All right. Next week's lesson. Let us make sure that next week, Sunday, May the 31st, 2020, is Measure Up. The devotion reads Deuteronomy 8, verses 11 through 20. The background scripture is Hosea, the 11th and 12th verse, and the printed text is Hosea, the 11th, verses 1 through 2, 7 through 10, 12, 1 through 2, and 6 through 14. All right. Closing prayer. Lord God, it is our desire to do the right thing in our daily walk and our talk. Thank you for the privilege to be part of your work of justice and righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Also remember, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, leading up to Sunday, May the 31st, read your home daily Bible readings. All right? On Monday, let's receive the new vision. That's Genesis, the 28th chapter, verses 10 through 17. On Tuesday, May the 26th, justice for Gentile believers, Acts 15, verses 10 through 17. We are Gentiles, listeners. The ups and downs choice, Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 6, 15 through 19. The ups are down choice. That is, choose blessings. There are things for blessing and there are things for evil. You have a choice. Thursday, May the 28th, Jesus, a migrant from Egypt, Matthew 2nd, chapter verses 13 through 15. And on Friday, May the 29th, Ephraim spurns God's love and suffers. That's in Hosea, the 11th chapter, verses 3 through 6. Then on Saturday, May the 30th, once a slave, now a brother. That's in Philippians 8, chapter, verses 21. Then on Sunday, May the 31st, the Sunday school lesson, respond with love and justice daily. Hosea, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 2, 7th and the 10th verse, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, and this 6 through the 14th verse. All right, we thank you for listening, and we will see you next time, or hear, if you hear us next time, God willing. God bless and take care.